Political London Playbook, presented by ExxonMobil. Zaltz and Shake, Grayling Goes to War, Tory Leadership Watch. By Jack Blanchard. Presented by ExxonMobil. Send tips here, subscribe for free, listen to Playbook and view in your browser. Good Friday morning. Feel the burn. SW1 Romaniacs feeling a little fraught this morning can head to Gymbox. A gym in Victoria offering Brexfit classes to help deal with pent-up fears and frustrations. The 30-minute workouts were designed by anger management specialists and feature specially tailored exercises for the politically minded. They include attacking a punch bag adorned with Boris Johnson's face, a Rome owner challenge involving rowing machines and laminated Dominic Raab quotes, plus a Theresa May sack race. Watch the promo video here. Let's hope they're braced for a flood of calls this morning. A message from ExxonMobil. Since 2009, ExxonMobil and Synthetic Genomics Incorporated, SGI, have been researching how to turn algae into low-emission transportation fuel. The hope is that this renewable energy source could one day fuel the world's trucks, planes and other large transportation vessels. Learn more, energyfactor.uk. Driving the day. Zaltz and Shake, a bruise Theresa May will hold talks with her closest advisors today after her carefully crafted Brexit plan was torpedoed in Salzburg. The PM knows she has a matter of days to plot a new course through a dangerous-looking Tory conference after EU leaders eviscerated her Chequers plan, emboldening the Brexiteers in her party. More importantly, May knows the clock is now ticking to find some sort of urgent compromise on the Irish border issue, with the next European Council summit now less than a month away. The stakes could hardly be higher, and there is no obvious path for May to choose. But remember, this is a Prime Minister who has lurched from one impossible-looking crisis to another this past 18 months, yet is somehow still on her feet and soldiering on. First read this, my Politico colleagues David Herzenhorn, Tom McTague and Jacopo Bargazzi filed this right through of the Salzburg summit if you're still catching up on what went down yesterday. Reuters snapper Lisi Niesner captured things perfectly with this pic, which can be added to the other great Brexit photos from the past few years. Coming out fighting, loyal Brexiteer Chris Grayling was dispatched to BBC Newsnight last night to deliver the hardline message that will lead the headlines this morning. In words aimed directly at 27 capital cities across Europe, the cabinet minister explicitly threatened no deal as an option. What the European Union is asking in and around Northern Ireland is actually impossible for the UK to accept, Grayling said. If they stick with that position, there will be no deal. Caveat, Grayling did also say that he believes a deal will be done, insisting the current hardball from Europe is just a tactic. We are in the midst of a negotiation where people are setting out robust, firm positions, and this is often the way with the European Union, he said. They build up, there's tough language, and actually a deal is done at the last. And I'm still confident that we will reach agreement. Watch the clip. Expect to hear more of this when another May loyalist, Community Secretary James Brokenshire, is dispatched to do the broadcast round this morning. Not so loyal, the Times reports other members of the cabinet are feeling a lot less loyal, however, and names Sajid Javid, Andrew Leadsom, Esther McVeigh and Penny Mordaunt as ministers who may press the PM to seek a looser free trade proposal instead. She needs to drop the language of Chequers, one unnamed cabinet minister says. Tory Brexiteers meanwhile are blaming their bêtement Oliver Robbins, the PM's chief Europe adviser, for the misjudgments that led to yesterday's row. The BBC's Laura Kuensberg has a good blog on this here. I don't know what the civil service were up to when they told her the EU would accept the Chequers deal. Former Tory leader Ian Duncan Smith complains to the Daily Mail. It's clearly not going to fly, and Ollie Robbins should take the blame for that. Reaction from Remainers, Remain supporting politicians are largely in meltdown as the threat of a no-deal scenario grows larger. Former Tory minister Philip Lee is urging an extension to the Article 50 process, while Labour peer Andrew Adonis wants Parliament recalled on Monday, slap bang in the middle of his own party's conference. Reaction from Jeremy Corbyn, via tweet at 11:53 p.m. Congratulations to at Wolf Alice Music on winning the hashtag Mercury Prize. Well deserved. And thank you for the great support you gave at UK Labour in the 2017 general election. We should all listen to them about the importance of music education. Reaction from the press, every national paper splashes the story this morning. And Playbook's medal goes to the Metro's Nienen emergency front page. Even if this time the bad news wasn't actually delivered in German. The Times, The Telegraph and The Guardian's splashes all say the PM was humiliated in Austria, while the I brands the summit the Salzburg disaster. The Brexiteer papers turn their ire on the EU. However, with the Mail and the Express both hyping up May's own suggestion she could walk away. The Sun goes for all-out war, mocking up Tusk and Macron as dirty rats and running a scathing front-page leader. Speaking of the Sun, Remainer tempers were fraying last night as an experienced former diplomat, Arthur Snell, blamed the Sun directly for helping lead Britain to the edge of the Brexit precipice. His furious takedown of the paper on Twitter was quite something, and was instantly going viral last night. Now everyone take a step back, and breathe. Nothing Donald Tusk or Emmanuel Macron said yesterday was actually new. Anyone who has been following this story closely, which is everyone reading this email, already knew the EU hated the Chequers plan, and has hated it since before it was even agreed by cabinet. Yesterday's blizzing row was always going to happen at some stage, and if you're shocked that Tusk thinks Chequers will not work or Macron thinks the Tory Brexiteers are liars, then you haven't been paying attention. But, expectations and timing can be everything in politics. And it was clear from May's furious demeanor that on those terms alone this summit went badly off the rails. Has Downing Street been in denial all along? As The Telegraph's Europe editor Peter Foster surmises? Remember, it was number 10 that pushed Brexit onto the agenda in Salzburg in the first place. And there were genuine hopes among the PM's closest aides that a direct appeal to EU27 leaders on Wednesday night could break the deadlock. Instead, it seems her words only hardened their resolve, with the promised November summit now temporarily shelved, and the understanding that a row would not be sparked before conference quickly abandoned. So what went wrong? The Times has the best single write-through of the various UK missteps this morning, though elements had already been reported by other members of the travelling press. It seems many EU leaders took issue with May's hard-nosed op-ed in Die Welt on Wednesday morning, and were equally unimpressed by her speech over dinner that night, warning their approach was not credible. The Times reckons she made things worse by actually reading the Die Welt piece aloud to those present, which would seem bizarre given they would surely all have been briefed on its contents. A Business Insider story, quickly denied, claiming Liam Fox plans to water down Britain's food standards was also seized upon by May's opponents in the EU27. And the vocal support she received from Hungary's Viktor Orbán endeared her to no one. Finally, the PM's reported admission to Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar over breakfast that a deal on the Irish border would not actually be done by the next EU Council summit appears to have sealed her fate. Britain's new best friends, one glimmer of hope for Britain comes via reports the EU27 are increasingly divided in their approach. My Politico colleague Jacopo Baragazzi reveals the Polish government had already come to Britain's aid earlier in the week by telling EU ministers it was time to engage with Chequers. And the Times reckons Sweden, Hungary, Denmark, the Netherlands and Belgium were also pressing for the EU not to simply reject the proposals out of hand. The problem for May is that Europe's biggest power players, Germany, France and the European Commission, are also those taking the hardest line. So where do we go from here? It looks like the PM will try to compromise further on her Irish border plan, with new proposals coming soon that would allow for regulatory, though not customs, checks between Britain and Northern Ireland. But the EU's hardball stance suggests this in itself will not be enough. In another scoop this morning, my Politico colleague Tom McTague may have more of the answer. A new proposal from the EU for a time-limited bridge clause that would take existing customs arrangements beyond the end of the Brexit transition period. Tom writes, if it makes the final agreement, it would, in effect, create a second UK-wide transition phase that would come into effect in 2021 and last for a set period of time. One senior EU27 official said. He adds that another EU offer is to include a political statement alongside the treaty saying the Irish backstop need never come into effect, as a close trade relationship will be agreed. But if these efforts fail, May could well be left with three choices. Reviving the Norway option of single market membership, which she says does not respect the referendum result, accepting the EU's backstop plus Canada-style trade deal, which she says does not respect the integrity of the union, or walking away with no deal at all. And the problem with all three of those choices, you can't imagine Parliament accepting any of them. Which is why the odds of a general election are surely rising fast. Will you be at the Conservative Party conference on September 30th? Join Jack Blanchard as he interviews former Secretary of State for Exiting the European Union David Davis at Politico Fringe event The Future of Britain 2022, presented by London City Airport. Planet Tory. Leadership Watch, it's very notable that two of the leading contenders to succeed May are both out on crowd-pleasing form in today's press. Home Secretary Sajid Javid writes a big piece for the Mail promising tough new action on the so-called county lines drugs gangs, who use youngsters from small towns and rural areas to deal on their behalf. And Defense Secretary Gavin Williamson takes the Telegraph with him to the front line of the new Cold War in eastern Ukraine, where he makes all the right noises about facing down Vladimir Putin. Sadly, he doesn't actually tell the Russian-backed separatists to go away and shut up. DD takes aim. Former Brexit Secretary David Davis, who is definitely not the current Brexit Secretary, despite what you read in Playbook yesterday, has done a big sit-down interview with HuffPost's Paul Waugh. In it he says 40 Tory MPs are now rock-solid in their desire to vote down the Chequers deal. Though frankly given what happened in Salzburg, it may not now come to that. He also has a snappy comeback when people ask him if he's to blame for pushing Theresa May into calling last summer's general election. You get people trying to say snide comments, saying it's your fault, DD says. I say, well I recommended a general election, I didn't recommend a crap campaign. Bit weird, the Conservative Way Forward group is this morning embarking on what it calls a freedom rally, a motor convoy from London to Brussels in fancy sports cars. This being the Tories, the itinerary largely seems to include going to French champagne houses, Michelin-starred restaurants and fancy chateaus. But still, all in a good cause I guess. Details here. Labour land. Mersey Paradise, Labour types will start heading north to Liverpool tomorrow as the party's annual conference gets underway this weekend. As usual proceedings kick off on Saturday with a day-long Labour Women's Conference, which Jeremy Corbyn will address. He will also be attending another epic meeting of Labour's National Executive Committee and speaking at the traditional eve of conference rally on Saturday night. The conference proper kicks off Sunday morning, with Corbyn on the Mar show. Meanwhile out on the streets of Liverpool the People's Vote campaign will be piling on the pressure with a march through the city centre. And then on Sunday night, Playbook's big fringe event kicks off at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday evening, when I will be in conversation with one of the Labour movement's biggest power players, Unite General Secretary Len McCluskey. We've got the room for an hour and a half, so there will be plenty of time for drinks afterwards. If you are going to conference, I hope to see you there. Return of the Mac, it hasn't escaped Westminster's attention that Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell is everywhere at the moment. Though whether that's simply down to his slick new press operation or more sinister leadership ambitions depends entirely on whom you talk to. Either way, John Mac has a big interview with the House magazine today, urging Labour MPs not to split the party and describing his own years on the backbenches as loyal opposition. He says, "If you look at my voting record, I must have probably voted more times for the Labour government than Tony Blair himself. It was a loyal opposition and never ever ventured outside the Labour Party." In a sit-down with the Birmingham Mail, McDonnell says he has been preparing to become Chancellor for 20 years. Keep an eye out, more big eve of conference interviews with Labour figures should start dropping this afternoon. Today in Westminster. Public sector finance stats are out at 9:30 a.m. Cyber Warriors. Nice twin scoop this morning by Sky News' new foreign affairs editor Deborah Haynes and her replacement at The Times, Lucy Fisher, who both report Britain is planning to create a new 2,000-strong cyber attack force to take on Russian aggression. The £250 million plan has been drawn up jointly by the Ministry of Defence and spy agency GCHQ, and represents a fourfold increase of Britain's offensive cyber operations. Both articles detail previously unreported successes Britain has had in using cyber warfare against terror groups such as Islamic State. Purple Warriors, UKIP's autumn conference gets underway in Birmingham today, where party leader Gerard Batten plans to unveil a new manifesto as he takes the party further and further to the right. It will include policies to abolish hate crime legislation and repeal the Equalities Act, which makes it illegal to discriminate against people on the grounds of religion, sex, race, gender, disability, sexual orientation or age. The Mirror's Dan Bloom has the story. He also quotes former leader Nigel Farage, who sounds deeply unhappy about the direction the party is headed. In The Guardian, Peter Walker reports many disaffected members could now quit. Hand of God, is this really Gus O'Donnell, the former cabinet secretary and head of the civil service, outing himself as a Lib Dem? I think we should be told. Tax and spend. Most British voters now want to pay higher taxes to boost public services. The latest British Social Attitude survey reveals today. The figures will likely be welcomed by both main parties. With Theresa May wondering where to find the £20 billion she needs to fund the NHS this autumn and Jeremy Corbyn staking his hopes on the belief voters want an end to austerity. Even 53% of Tory voters now say taxes should be higher, the Daily Mail reports. Westminster goes green. House authorities yesterday began the rollout of new compostable cutlery, cups, food containers and straws across the parliamentary estate. Special bins will also be introduced in the coming weeks for recycling food and compostable waste. Sales of plastic bottles are also being phased out next month, as are plastic sachets of ketchup and other condiments. It's part of a wider plan to eliminate single-use avoidable plastics from both houses by 2019. Coming attractions, Robert Peston's New Look politics show restarts next Wednesday evening. ITV has announced, and will feature his own Twitter emoji on social media, which I think is a first for the lobby. The hour-long show will be broadcast live on Twitter and on the ITV News website as it is recorded from 8 p.m., before airing on ITV after the news at 10:40 p.m. each Wednesday night. More details here. AWKS, a confidential report by Belgian investigators confirms British intelligence services hacked state-owned Belgian telecom giant Belgacom on behalf of Washington, an official has told the AFP news agency. The hack was first revealed in the Snowden leaks of 2013, and has since been subject to a 5-year judicial inquiry in Belgium. The matter will now be discussed by Belgium's National Security Council. A message from ExxonMobil: algae is a renewable source of energy, but could it help transform how we power automobiles and jet planes in the future? ExxonMobil is actively researching algae's potential to produce a lower CO2 emission alternative to today's transport fuels. And because algae can grow in salt water and on land unsuitable for crops, a successful algae-based biofuel could provide the transportation industry and the world with more energy without posing a challenge to global food and fresh water supplies. Learn more about ExxonMobil's algae biofuels research at energyfactor.uk. Media Round. Today Program, Community Secretary James Brokenshire, 8:10 a.m. Also on the Today Program, Conservative MP Stephen Crabb, 7:10 a.m., Article 50 campaigner Gina Miller, 7:20 a.m., former Tory leader Ian Duncan Smith, 8:40 a.m. Talk Radio, Labour peer Andrew Adonis, 7:05 a.m., UKIP leader Gerard Batten, 7:35 a.m., Tory MP Nadine Dorries, 8:05 a.m., Commons Public Accounts Committee Chairwoman Meg Hillier, 8:20 a.m. Nick Ferrari at breakfast, 9:05 a.m., phone in with RBC boss Ross McEwen. All Out Politics, Sky News, 10 a.m., Housing Minister Kit Malthouse, 10 a.m., The FT's political correspondent Laura Hughes and talk radio presenter James Max review the newspaper comment sections. 10:15 a.m., the National Housing Federation's chief executive David Orr. The Green Party's co-leader Sean Barry and Generation Rent's Hannah Slater debate housing policy. 10:30 a.m., Le Monde's London correspondent Mark Roche discusses Brexit. 10:50 a.m., Politics Live, BBC Two, 12:15 p.m., with impeccable timing. The BBC's Brexit cast team takes over the show for the day, and their guest is Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab. I'm sure they'll find something to talk about. Any questions? BBC Radio 4, 8 p.m. Tory MP George Freeman, Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry, News President Shakira Martin, columnist Simon Heffer. Reviewing the papers tonight, BBC News, 10:45 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. The Guardian's political correspondent Jessica Elgin and former Tory spinner Joanne Nadler. Sky News, 10:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Demos director Polly McKenzie and consultant Alex Dean. Today's front pages. Click on the publication's name to see its front page. City AM, Reach for the Sky, dramatic conclusion to Fox vs. Comcast. Daily Express, I won't roll over on deal, PM vows to protect Britain's interests. Daily Mail, Furious May, We're ready to walk away. Daily Mirror, Your Brexit's broken. Financial Times, May's Salzburg hope stashed as EU leaders reject Chequers deal. HuffPost, Rock Solid Rebellion, David Davis Exclusive. I, The Salzburg Disaster. Metro, Neen, May Crisis After Salzburg Snub. The Daily Telegraph, scathing Macron warns Britain it must climb down further. The Guardian, May humiliated as European leaders tell her, your Brexit plan won't work. The Independent, backing final say takes Labour to brink of power. The Sun, EU dirty rats, Euro mobsters ambush May. The Times, humiliation for May as EU rejects Brexit plan. On the continent, read what the rest of Europe's papers are saying in Politico's EU Press Review blog here, updated daily at around 8 a.m. Today's News Mags. The Economist, Jair Bolsonaro, Latin America's latest menace. Thank pod, it's Friday. Chopper's Brexit Podcast, The Daily Telegraph's Christopher Hope interviews Commons European Scrutiny Committee Chairman Bill Cash, Tory MP Mike Penning, pro-Brexit businessmen Tom Bohills and Ed Harden, former trade negotiator Christophe Bondy, electoral calculus Martin Baxter, and MLEX Brexit expert Matthew Holehouse. EU Confidential, Politico's Ryan Heath interviews European Ombudsman Emily O'Reilly. Political Thinking, the BBC's Nick Robinson interviews Lib Dem leader Vince Cable. Politics Home Podcast, Pol Home editor Kevin Schofield interviews former Labour spinner Alistair Campbell. Beyond the M25. From Hanoi. President has died. Vietnam's President Tran Dai Quang has died at the age of 61 after an illness, according to local media. From Wigtown. Reading List, Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon discusses her favourite books this afternoon at Scotland's most famous literature festival. From Las Vegas. Trump rally, I know playbook is mildly obsessed with this. But Toronto Star reporter Daniel Dale fact-checking a Trump speech is mesmerizing to watch. This guy has been doing this for years now, counting every lie, keeping a tally for the history books. Your weekend in politics. Conference overload, the Labour conference and its colourful lefty sideshow The World Transformed. TWT, festival both get underway in Liverpool this weekend. Keep an eye out for John McDonnell at the opening of TWT on Saturday and Corbyn speaking at the Pierhead rally at around 7:30 p.m. that night. Labour's NEC meets again to discuss further controversial changes to the party's rulebook on Saturday. Meanwhile in Birmingham it's day two of the UKIP conference. Sunday shows look ahead, all the Sunday shows are coming live from Labour conference this weekend. And proceedings kick off with Deputy Leader Tom Watson and Shadow Business Secretary Rebecca Long-Bailey on Sophie Ridge on Sunday. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn is the big-ticket interview on The Mar Show, and will be joined by Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab and actress Joanna Lumley. Pienaar has Shadow Foreign Secretary Emily Thornberry and Unite the Union leader Len McCluskey, with The Daily Mirror's Kevin Maguire and The Guardian's Heather Stewart on the panel. No word yet from the Westminster Hour. London Culling. Westminster weather, sunny with clouds and showers. Sun, speedy, early rain clearing to leave a dry and sunny day, but with strong gusty winds. Highs of 17°C. Travel, severe delays on TFL rail between Liverpool Street and Shenfield. Not politics but, Uber is in talks to buy Deliveroo for several billion pounds, Bloomberg reports this morning. Which would be quite a thing. Congratulations, to The Guardian's co-political editor, Anushka Astana, who is leaving the lobby after landing a new job heading up the paper's new daily news podcast. Astana will also be a regular presenter on Robert Peston's new Wednesday night politics show. Astana and her fellow Paulette Heather Stewart successfully pioneered what I think was the lobby's first proper job share. A rare glimpse of modernity in an otherwise weirdly archaic world. Let's hope there's more where that came from. And I saw me yesterday. Newsnight's Evan Davis has been announced as the new chief presenter on Radio 4's Drive Time Show PM, replacing Eddie Mayer. Welcome to the world, City AM's head of politics Kat Nealon has given birth to a baby boy. And yes, there's a pic. Many congrats. Happy birthday to Chelmsford MP Vicky Ford, Aberdeen South MP Ross Thompson, Patricia Summers Edwards, head of comms at the British Consulate General in NYC, and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who turns 64. Playbook couldn't happen without my editors Oya Shevkalovich. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, EU Confidential, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico Pro Policy morning newsletters.